welcome to the SNS ICE podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and in-depth insights into the world of 6G in Europe. Join us as we dive into industry news, analyze the latest trends, and discuss the development of the new generation of cellular networks.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the introduction. And maybe after that introduction, I should start by clarifying that it sounded almost like 5G was the history, and we can forget about that. And that's certainly not the case. So maybe to start this panel, which is a 6G panel, we should start by saying 5G is vitally important. And the 5G story isn't over. No one should be saying how well or how badly we've done in 5G, because we're still at the beginning of that story. The child has just started secondary school. Let's judge it when it's in the workplace and we're actually using it, okay? So first point. And we're talking about a technology, 6G, which is at first potentially going to be 2030 be the first deployment. So we're talking about the future. It's interesting. But let's not misunderstand what is the technology of today and tomorrow, which is 5G. Good. Okay. Why are we having another panel on why 6G? Because we had a panel, or I hosted a panel on why 6G last year. So either I did a very bad job last year on the panel, or there's something else going on here. And the issue here is, to be honest, it's still a question we haven't really answered. Now, again, this is a technology we're launching in 2030. So maybe it's not surprising we haven't got all the answers yet. Yeah. Someone was saying on a Twitter feed I was looking at that 6G is like Christmas. We know when it's coming, but we don't know what you're going to get. And I think that's probably true. You know, we're still sort of defining it. We're still sort of looking at it. And I hope that this panel will give us a chance of maybe having some different views of what we'll be getting for Christmas, what 6G will be. Now, unlike last year, we're trying to take a slightly different angle, which is also looking from a European view. So from a European view, what's important for Europe from 6G? It needs to be a global standard. I hope we all agree on that. If we don't, we're going to have some serious discussions. But even though it's a global standard, we need to make sure that that 6G global standard is fit for Europe. What does fit for Europe mean? And how can Europe be successful in 6G? So these are the sort of questions I hope in the next 47 minutes and 30 seconds that I can bring out. Okay, so we have a great panel, and maybe we can start by having the panel introduce themselves, because otherwise I'd have had to read all the stuff, and you know, I'm a very busy person, so we won't be doing that. So Amina, maybe you'll be kind enough to start and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Colin. Hi, everyone. So I'm Amina Boubendie. I lead research and standardization within Airbus Defence and Space. I come from a telecom background, and I'm actively helping shaping the digitalization of the SATCOM industry. We, just to give also, if we think of Airbus, maybe most of you think of airplanes, but Airbus is a satellite industry player, vendor, integrator, and operator. And we have the connectivity as a backbone for every platform and service that we deliver. So five main pillars. The space pillar through satellite communications for civil, governmental, and military communications. And this includes Earth observation and also exploration of space. Going into the aero connectivity, mainly for the military aircraft connectivity, but also civil aircraft connectivity provided by satellites. As a third pillar, we have the unmanned aerial systems. Everything drones unmanned that work in networks need, of course, a network. And in terms of public safety, everything in urban areas, but also in remote areas, rely strongly on communications for first responders. And last but not least, helicopters for mainly civil, mission-critical, but also military operations. All of them rely on strong connectivity from the satellite, but also from the ground. So we, as industry player, have these as main portfolio platforms. And, of course, without connectivity, we cannot provide them. That's why we are actively working with partners in shaping 6G, as we did for 5G and previous generations, but also looking at how the satellite, or SATCOM mainly, satellite communications, can evolve with everything that is impacting it through digitalization, as I said, but also the integration with the mobile industry. So this is why it's really at the crossroads of our evolution, and we're happy to continue working with partners.
Super, thank you. So if there's anyone in the audience who wants to buy a plane or a satellite or a helicopter, do talk to her afterwards. I'm sure there'll be special deals for TechToy, maybe. I don't know, some percentage. Or anyway, Sheen, perhaps you'd be kind enough to introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me here. So I'm Jean Schroer, Jean in English. I'm with Orange, which, as you might know, is one of the large Europe operators, also quite present in Africa and Middle East. I work mainly in research and also a little bit in standardization, so 3GPP and GMN, and sometimes with this gentleman in the CGIA board. That's it. So to get back to what we intend with 6G, it's clear that what we call 6G, we might not know exactly what it will be, but it's something that will last for long, up to 2040, hopefully. So it's a long time. It's far away. I mean, it's not always easy to imagine what we will expect from our Christmas gift, especially so far away in time. What we are seeing from Orange perspective is that we need a 6G or next generation network that is sustainable in the sense that it has to last long. If it's not sustainable, it means that at a given time, it won't continue to, we won't be able to support it. So it had to be sustainable from the environmental perspective. It has to be sustainable from the societal perspective, so it has to be beneficial to the whole society, and it has, of course, to be economically sustainable. And the other very important point for our point of view is that this next generation network needs to be driven not just by technology, but also by value, because beyond technology, if there is no value that legitimates this technology, that make a use of it, that give a sense to it, then we might not need this technology. So value-driven 6G, sustainable 6G is really what we are hoping for Christmas. We need a future network to be able to deliver value to our customers, to the society, and to our global ecosystem. And we need it to do so in a sustainable way, if I try to be short.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Andreas.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, everybody. So my name is Andreas Müller. Unlike Amina, unfortunately, I cannot sell you any plane, but I have the best offer for you if you want a dishwasher or a fridge or a washing machine.
So if you with 6G?
With 6G, if you wait a couple of years more, maybe also with 6G. Yeah. No, I always have two hats. So my main role is in Bosch. That's why we have all these great products and many more. So in Bosch, I'm responsible for the 6G activities across different business units and sites. And the second that is in 5G ACIA, so I'm still the general chair of the 5G Alliance for Connected Industries and Automation, where we are bringing or trying to bring the ecosystem together to make also still 5G in the industrial domain a major success. So why am I here? So we started looking into 6G at Bosch rather early for Bosch standards. You know, it's not so common that we look into such a new technology if it's not our core business and still 5 to 10 years away, or maybe even longer. But it's, to some extent, a learning from 5G. So I still remember, I think I was part of the very first 5G territory. I think it was in 2018. Some people here know much better, yeah. But and already at that time, I was promoting 5G in the industrial domain. And to be honest, we were a bit overly optimistic. Yeah? So overly optimistic regarding the timeline, how long it takes, and how easy it is to bring 5G in a factory, for example. I think we learned our part and many other stakeholders in the ecosystem as well, and I fully agree with Colin. So there's still work to be done also on the 5G side, and there's a big potential still for 5G manufacturing, but we also understand, you know, it's different stages that are overlapping. So 5G is now about bringing it into reality, and 6G, of course, is the research phase. And we want to be part now of the 6G discussions from the very beginning to make sure we don't repeat the same mistakes, and not just ourselves, also other players in the ecosystem, with 6G that we understand what is coming up and what is the impact on our business, of course, but also then to really focus on those aspects where we are very confident that it provides, they provide value at reasonable cost. That's at the end of the day what matters, because as Bosch, we bring in also the perspective of the vertical industries. So we are very strong in automotive, that's our core business. We are very strong in the industrial domain. We are in building automation and so on. So, and in all these areas, we see now many interesting aspects coming up with 6G, new features like integrated sensing and communication, non-terrestrial networks, digital twinning, AI. So all these topics are relevant for us even without 6G. So that's why we want to understand what is the 6G contribution to that. One big promise is convergence, right? So that we don't have to deploy and use and run several systems for different things, but it is one converged platform that then can serve as the central platform for the digital transformation, basically, of this, all these vertical industries. So that's, in a nutshell, the reason why I'm here. So,
super. Thank you. And thank you for making the sales option of dishwashers and washing machines for you. That's excellent. The panel is providing so many opportunities to buy things. I'm not sure if that's why you came here, but I think it's great. Mohan, what can you offer to sell? Please introduce yourself.
Thank you very much for having me here. So my name is Mohan Dashouch. I'm from the 3-5 Lab. So most probably no one knows who is the 3-5 Lab. But let me introduce the 3-5 Lab, which is a joint venture between Nokia, Thales, and CLAT. So it just had its 20th anniversary last 2 weeks ago, actually. In this lab, I am in charge of the strategy as the main actor in the 5G and future 6G. Nokia is one of them, so we are really working on this, let's say, on the chip design and the semiconductor area. So in this panel, I hope that I will have the opportunity to discuss more on the engine that will be constituting, let's say, the 6G equipment, the 5G equipment, and future 6G equipment. When it comes to some of the new use cases that require some innovations in the space of microelectronics and photonics. And for that, I will see it in the angle of sovereignty and also autonomy in the European ecosystem. So this is the angle that I would like to discuss during this panel. So thank you.
Ouch. Okay. Thank you, sir. I assume you can offer base stations if anyone's interested, but let's not go there. Augustin, maybe you'd be kind enough to introduce yourself, sir.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Agustin Díaz-Pinez, in the unit of Future Connectivity Systems of the European Commission. Our unit and other units of related technologies are in charge of the promotion and development of future networks, not only telecom networks, but also together we're working with other units on cloud, IoT, edge, and so forth. I can sell the Commission's white paper on digital infrastructure needs that was published in February, but I believe it has been sold in many markets already. we were responsible for the 5G action plan and the 5G PPP, and now we hold the Commission presentation at the Smart Networks and Services Joint Undertaking, the public side. And here are some of the members of the private side in charge of the developing research and innovation in 6G in Europe and coordinating 5G deployments. And looking at this white paper, we were the panel holders of one of Pillar 1 and Pillar 3. Pillar 1 is about what we call the 3Cs, connected collaborative computing networks, where we analyze the challenge of the convergence and the compute continuum with other technologies, cloud and edge and telecoms, and the challenges Europe is facing because the traditional telecom networks are no longer that clear and they are converging with other technologies. And there is a challenge for Europe to get these capacities and be able to develop these networks as well.
Thank you, sir. So an excellent and diverse panel. which is a good start. I'd also like to thank all panelists for not wearing a tie and making me feel underdressed, so thank you. I'm glad we agreed on that. Before the panel, we went through a series of questions so that the panel will be prepared. So obviously what I'm now going to do is ask completely different questions to make them feel a bit edgy, so that's great. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can come to Jean first. You were saying that 6G needs to last a long time. Will 6G be the last G?
Who knows? Maybe. I don't know.
But is that what you were referring to? Or what exactly, when you say it needs to last a long time, what's the aspect there you're talking about?
What we can observe is that it seems that the move from 5G to 6G will be more like an evolution than a global total revolution. So, yeah. And we can say more or less similar things from 4G to 5G. We have improved the technology, but we haven't built something entirely new. No. So the technical basis stays the same. And if you continue this move, yeah, maybe at a given time, we won't talk anymore about new G, but just continuous improvement of a basis until one day maybe we have a new ID and get something revolutionary. But even if we consider that by 2040, maybe 7G will come. Even if we consider this option, it's at least in 2040, and we know that we won't switch off 6G when 7G arrives and so on, because we are right now just considering the option about we are now entering into the sunset of 2G. 2G who was introduced in the 90s.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that, 2G has lasted 35 years, let's say, roughly. It's quite long. So when we build something, we know that it will last for a long time. It seems to me that with a telecommunication market that's moving from something very smartphone-centric to a much more diverse object, terminals, from connected car to water meter and maybe many, many other more. We have terminals, objects that have a very different lifetime than the one of a smartphone. So this question of time, of giving a confidence in the sense that if you invest now in an equipment, a solution, it won't last 2 years, 5 years, even 10 years, but it will be compatible with the view of your business. It's quite important. So what we are doing now, what we will do for 6G, will probably last a long time, I would say. I don't know how many times, but clearly it will last a long time, whatever happen after 6G.
Okay. I mean, in some ways, maybe if we're talking about 2040 plus, it's not our problem anyway. So, I mean,
no.
Good. Then let's go back to some of the plan questions. I wanted to start actually looking backwards in a way. So I said earlier that we are by no means at the end of the 5G story. We're sort of maybe in the middle or something like that. But have we seen enough of the 5G story to actually learn some critical things as we look forward to 6G and start 6G standardization? So what can we learn from the 5G experience that we need to do better or different in the 6G era? Who fancies starting here? You were shrugging. I'll take that as a yes. Go for it.
I was listening to you, Colin. Okay, so if we can go back a little bit, it is, and we'll join Jean for this. Jean, can hardly call you Jean. It is absolutely a series of convergence of technologies.
Yep.
Maybe not when we look at the mobile alone, but since 5G. And the conversions with the IT that was more visible in 5G, so the cloud-based infrastructures, everything service-based, everything software-oriented, virtualization as an enabler for 5G deployments, fast deployments, so scaling, etc. Then move into, and maybe more the application layer, the convergence between the telecom applications, business applications, and mass market applications with the OTT applications that probably got a wider share in the market in the use. Then actually each time we're keeping, every time there is a convergence, we're keeping the new set and building on it. And So if I take it now from the satellite perspective, satellite industry perspective, we need somehow, there is clearly the convergence, we're talking about the 5G NTN, or terrestrial and non-terrestrial, there is clearly another wave of convergence. We're all actively working on it together. But somehow the satellite industry is also behind in terms of digital transformation. Mm-hmm. So everything has been, as was the telecom industry, has been more vendor-specific, hardware-oriented. I mean, everything was still actually quite developed and implemented in hardware-specific ways. So we need to catch up on the digitalization wave of virtualization and everything software-oriented in terms of network evolution, plus this convergence that is already very difficult and complex. This is the way. So if we want to look a little bit at how the convergence is building. But what we can learn also from 5G is that we, as maybe experts or research community, standardization community, the technical community was somehow ready to give it to, because we developed, we think, we already thought of the design and ways of implementing. But maybe the speed of development is higher than the speed of adoption. And the industry, even though we thought 5G as, okay, a plus G in terms of for the mass market, but a new tool for many sectors, many verticals, and we came up with excellent use cases in different collaborations in R&D. When it comes to real life, many of them are still stuck in their legacy processes, because they talk about processes and not applications, as we call them in the telecom community. So that's how we can balance the speed of development compared to the adoption. The absorption speed is definitely low compared to what we can produce as experts community. Mm-hmm. This is one thing. So how we can probably use 6G to continue raise the awareness about how 5G or the technologies that we thought of in 5G++ can be still helpful and can help them develop or optimize their own business with their own clients. But also the value. I think now it's everyone, I think in this event, many of you know already the KPIs. KPIs didn't exist in 5G. We didn't talk about KPIs in 6G.
Yep.
So how everything we're pushing for a new technology, we have a common driver, or at least a driver that is common to multiple players. And I see you, Colin, wearing the the UN SDG pins. So I think a common denominator is the UN SDGs. I really believe in that. So and in space again, we have the space for SDGs. So they have been derived into what this or how space can help reach these the UN SDGs. Maybe it's not obvious, but actually, or in this opportunity or in later opportunity, there are very obvious ways. The one can be the closing the digital divide in terms of coverage. Yep. So the convergence and the extension of coverage, TN and NTN, is obviously one of them, and how we can bring this to the wider users, keeping in mind the differences in terms of adoption, regional adoption globally. So, yeah.
No. Okay. Thank you. Other people who wish to comment on that? Oh, excellent. This is what we want. Andres, you're closer to me, so please go ahead.
Yeah, so I think one key learning from 5G is that build it and they'll become does not work for vertical industries. Right. So this was the way somehow it was in the past. We always build a new generation. At the beginning, at least from my perspective, people also did not really know, why do I need more than 2 megabits per second, right? Or what is the killer use case for 4G? We didn't really know in advance, but it has been built and somehow it evolved and became a success. And with 5G, it's a little bit different. Of course, on the one hand, it's certainly a success to some extent in the consumer domain, right? I mean, most of you probably have a 5G, hopefully, have a 5G capable smartphone and 5G network here and so on. But of course, this is not where the extra business is, right? So it's the growth potential. Maybe Jean can tell better, but for the established industry is limited in the consumer space. It's still important, but limited. And the main promise of 5G, of course, was the vertical industries. And here, I think the learning is also we need this close collaboration, and we made quite some progress. We have organizations like 5GSAA, 5GAA. We have all the SNS projects bringing stakeholders together. We didn't have this at the very beginning of 5G, right? And that's one of the reasons why also for Bosch, it's now very important to be part of 6G from the very beginning so that we don't run into the same problem again. And then there are different, you know, a vertical, which is often enterprise business, is different from the consumer business. It's not B2C, it's B2B. And this has technical implications. And 5G, for example, does not solve any problem per se. It's always a building block that can be used together with other building blocks to solve real problems. And it's important to understand the real problem and to also look what are the alternatives, because usually 5G is not the only solution that can fix it, right? And this holistic understanding and so on, so that has been missing in the past, is something that has where we have improved a lot and it's getting better. But it's then also the timeline, so the life cycles, right? So we buy a new smartphone every 2 years, maybe some of us even more often. But you don't buy a new robot in a factory every 2 years, right? You use it for 10 years. And you don't rebuild your production line just because 5G is available, because it's depending on what you're producing. If you're a car manufacturer, right, it's a big thing. It's a lot of investment to change the production line. So these life cycles and timelines are a challenge. It's also you're talking to enterprises. So if Orange, for example, wants to sell services to factory owners, right? It's not you have a shop somewhere in the city center and people come to you and buy it. You need also the organizational setup to be able to offer this. It's more project business. You have, you know, really people who understand something of the domain and then who really look at these problems in a holistic manner. And also this is something that needs time to establish. So some operators, for example, have had this for a long time already. Others are building it up. Also this is getting better and developing. But another reason why it takes time, and then a big concern or observation that we also see, right, is that there's simply a gap between the vision, which is great, right? We still like the 5G vision. And then there's a gap between vision and what is in the standard. But that's acceptable, I think, that gap. But then between the standard and what has been implemented. And that's one of the main challenges as well. So only a fraction of what has been standardized is in the chipsets, for example, in the infrastructure components and so on. That means we have 5G, but we do not have exactly 5G as it has been also promised to the verticals at the very beginning. But of course, it's not that, you know, people do this on purpose or so. At the end of the day, it all boils down to the question, do we have a sufficient understanding of the value add of what is being offered and done and the costs for it? And that needs to be a reasonable ratio. And obviously with 5G for the time being, it was not a sufficient return on invest for all the stakeholders along the value chain. For some, yes, but others not. Yeah. And also, this is a key learning, right? And we already have to do this better with 6G. We see that it's getting better in some parts, but we also see that in other parts, we have to be careful that we are not doing the same mistakes again as we have done with 5G to make sure really 6G becomes then a major success from the very beginning. But still want to emphasize again, also 5G hopefully will still become the big success that we have anticipated a long time ago. It takes a bit longer, but we see, for example, in manufacturing where I'm deeply involved in, right? So it's taking up. There are more and more factories being equipped with 5G networks, more and more private networks being deployed, but it takes much more time than originally expected.
Johan.
Very short.
Good.
I think the general observation is that as 5G continues to scale, it will require, I believe, a better network performance. And to relate that and to illustrate it, let me just bring to you a story. You know, this summer we had a fantastic Olympic Games in France, so it was really very, very cool. And many people followed that event in summertime. So in the end-user perspective, what we saw, it's a personal, personal observation, and it was related also in the press, is that the people that had the chance to attend the event in the stadium, so they were looking to the games, really in life, And then, as there was some different competition running in parallel in other sites, they were following those on their mobile phone. Mm. So the experience is that on when you do it with such thousands of people following those games, so the network had some challenges. Mm-hmm. And we saw some saturation at some level, and I think that Orange France has brought that observation also to the people that I believe, and we believe that it needs we need to have like a sort of investment on those network upgrade while keeping some monetization aspect in order to have some return in investment. So to make the transition to 6G, I would assume that 6G will not only be a software upgrade of 5G network. So it should be something different.
Okay.
So thank you. If we consider 5G, at the time of requirement, it was extremely ambitious. Yeah. When we consider what we wrote in the paper, 1 millisecond latency, and so on, it was extremely ambitious. And if you take what we get on the at the end, technically speaking, if you deploy it accordingly to the way it has been synced and so on, each robot delivers that. The thing is, on a practical perspective, it's really complicated to do so. And at the end, what value did we get from the ability to deliver 1 millisecond latency, for example? I'm afraid not that much, because it concerns only very specific use cases that are not that widely deployed. It requires very specific deployments that are their own cost and so on. So the mistake maybe was to focus mostly on the technical performances without the vision of what value, what benefit, not only money, but global benefit, will we get from being able to achieve these performances, and what does it cost to do so? Because, of course, nothing came for free. This is really the thing that I think we need to improve in the way we will define 6G requirements. Amina was speaking about KVI. It's a way to include this notion of value. What does it cost? What does it bring? What benefit do we get from this approach? It might also be a nice way to avoid what you were saying, Andreas, about having many, many, many features specified in a standard, just a part of them being implemented in real life because maybe there is a market need for this feature, but not for this one. If at the standardization time there is a vision of what to bring value, enough value to justify the investments of specifying, designing, implementing this feature, maybe we might get a simpler standard, but an implementation ratio that is a bit higher than the one we have get from 5G. And I'm sure this can also bring more confidence to the ecosystem that a solution that will exist for real. So at the end, it seems to me that everyone will benefit from a more value-driven approach of what we expect from 6G. The difficulty being that it's, as we said, quite difficult to know exactly what we will need several years, tens of years ahead. So that's why the flexibility aspect, the evolutivity of a next-generation network is very important. We need that. 6G won't be a fixed design, and we won't keep it like that for 10 years. We haven't done that for 5G, as we've said, from 5G from 2020 to 5G Advance, Advance Plus, and so on. There is a huge evolution inside a G, and this will continue, but we clearly need to have the highest possible level of flexibility to adapt to rising needs, to adapt to the fact that, well, yeah, we are not able right now to predict exactly what we will need in several years ago. And this goes with, probably more software-based implementation of network function based on cloud and microservices, not only to develop new functions, but to better scale with load, adapt to the needs at a given time, in a given place. And at the end, if our ecosystem is able to deliver not just the connectivity, but the whole services that someone needs at the place and at the time he needs it, and deliver just that, not less but not more, it means that we are able to clearly reduce over-provisioning, we are clearly able to reduce over-engineering. At the end, it will be a more efficient system in terms of ability to deliver what people need, but also energy consumption, resource requirements. It will go into the direction of a more, let's say, on-demand services rather than the best effort approach that has made it proof until now, but that we have seen it also is costly, requires more resources, more energy, has a larger impact than something flexible enough to adapt to the actual need at the actual time. So I would say that, yeah, if we need to highlight what mistake we might have, or mistake, maybe it's a big word, but what we can improve is focus on value and bring flexibility to be able to deliver that value when and where we need it. So that would be, I think it can extend also to several of the examples you have given previously.
Good. Thank you, sir. Did you wish to make a comment to this? Or?
Yes, before we transition to 6G in the 6G panel, just a comment on 5G. I don't think we're even in the middle of the journey in 5G. So
yes.
It's not, I mean, despite what our indicators show, that 90% of the population is covered by 5G in Europe, you need to deploy standalone, you need to deploy spectrum, you need to deploy the capabilities of 5G, and that hasn't happened to a large extent so far. I mean, from a public policy perspective, what we could do better is to put the right policies in place, and that was clearly not the case in 5G, for example, for spectrum, to have a quick allocation of spectrum for hopefully for 6G.
Absolutely.
That and others, like reducing barriers to deployment. I think from the public policy perspective, some of the policies needed there, and there we take the blame together with member states, were not there at the time when it had to be for 5G. On the pace of deployment of 6G, and whether it will be up to 2040 or so forth, I mean, we need to be careful here. If we take too long, maybe others will develop 5G, 6G for us. So there's an opportunity cost there that we need to take into account.
Thank you, sir. I had lots of questions. Unfortunately, we don't have much time. What I'd like to do is maybe open it up to the audience to see if there's any questions from the audience, because I think the organisers aren't expecting me to do that, so it's always good to keep them on their toes. Would there be any questions from the audience here, physical?
Hello. There's one question.
Perhaps you could introduce yourself, sir,
yes,
first, so we know who to blame. We know who you are.
Representing Telia Estonia, so Aye. Operator.
Right.
And I want to ask about a very practical question. You not touched very much money. If we say about 5G, then we can say so that it's like last Christmas. We're still waiting gifts from that. And now my question actually is about 6G. Where is the money for operators with 6G? What's the extra we can earn if we invest into 6G?
Very good question. I mean, clearly, these networks aren't very cheap. They cost billions, and so does the spectrum. So at least in the current model, where it's purely commercial, and we could question the model, but at least in the current model where it's commercial, there has to be a market reason, there needs to be a return on investment. Right, how are we going to do it with 6G? Who fancies answering this? Everyone, you're shaking your head.
I'm not sure I can answer, but at least what we can see in some reports from GSMA So GSMA is maybe the best organization that would represent operators, and I've joined Augustine on this. It's still not done. We're not done with 5G developments and 5G commercialization. So, but the numbers Well, we hear from operators and the 5G, the sectors that were waiting for 5G and have invested in 5G, that the ROE is not there. Not there yet. I hope that it's not just not there yet. But it's also because, and that's maybe the eye expert, is that we thought 5G as a very complex system. And because of the complexity and all the software drivers that came with it, it removed some of the share to the legacy telecom market to give it to also hyperscalers. It's like we were definitely dependent on hyperscalers for 5G because everything is cloud-based. So the change in the value chain plus the change in the business models, because we want to target more B2B and they are not ready, and we have already invested, and the vendors change their way of building networks, and operators are changing the way they expose network services, is probably makes it... give many transformation or many new paradigms that maybe we still don't master very well. So that's the eye expert, as I said, but I have no idea about the numbers and how much we were really expecting from the market. But just looking at the reports, it's definitely the business is not there yet. Let's hope 6G can bring the simplification of 5G. Because we're talking about sobriety, but also sovereignty, not letting anybody else develop 6G for us. Maybe standards can help lower this these costs in terms of design, deployment, and operation.
Yeah.
So when we look at the operators and the engineers in the field, they say, "Give us the simplest possible." We're in R&D, where we have great minds. We want to build the most complex
engineers,
machines.
Engineers, yes.
Engineers,
indeed,
yeah.
Indeed. Thank you. Anyone else wish to chip in on this, or Andreas?
Yes,
nodding.
I see the.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Well, that's fine.
So, but I mean, if you're honest, what is 6G? 6G is a marketing label, right? And we put 6G there because 10 years are over, and we need a new G somehow. That's how the ecosystem is working, how it was in the past. In the past, maybe it was a bit better justified because we had these main technology changes from. Analog to digital, digital to wideband, and so on, right? With 4G to 5G, it's already, well, some things are new, maybe not fundamentally new, and with 6G, maybe will be even less, or some developments that we see for 6G already are part of 5G advanced now, like integrated sensing, communication, zero energy devices, ambient IoT, and so on. So that's why I would not phrase the question, what is the value of 6G at the end, but what is the value of the further evolution of mobile technology? And from my perspective, it clearly is the vertical industries where the potential should be. Personally, maybe I'm not a power user, right? But I don't notice whether I'm running on a 4G network or a 5G network. A good 4G network is for me just as good as a 5G network. Maybe for an operator, it makes a difference, right? If you can lower your costs and so on. So that's something that I also notice. But it's maybe not really something that is worth then billions of euros of investments, right? So that's the vertical. Certainly you have to play an important role. Maybe many things will then happen in private networks, right? So once manufacturing really takes off, ports, mining, all these areas, so there's a lot of value to be unlocked. We just have to do it right and to really focus now on the things that provide significant value add. But what I mentioned in my initial statement, I really see 6G has the potential to become this universal platform for the digital transformation. And it's then maybe not necessarily doing things that we cannot do otherwise. Right. I mean, we have edge computing, we have AI, we have digital twins. We can all do these things today. But if we have a standardized platform that integrates all these building blocks, that is globally available, so then it's getting interesting, right? So then as a user, and now considering Bosch as somebody maybe providing use cases based on such a platform, then I don't have to realize everything over the top. I can use services that are there. I can use the 6G network as a trust platform to provide trust between also different users connected to the system and so on. And especially then for use cases in connected mobility and things like this, right? So this has a lot of potential. It's just important that it's a good value for the cost. So we should not just look at what are the cool features and then it's super expensive and not consumable, but always the ratio matters. And as Sean also mentioned again, right? Maybe less is more. So we should not now standardize all the options that we can think of. I mean, to be honest, that's the thing where I think it's not the learnings have not been so high yet, because that's what now is happening in TGBP. So we are standardizing all options for integrated sensing and communication and so on without having fully understood what makes sense and what not. The problem is this makes the standard complex. It requires also, this causes costs, all right, for the patents, for the people doing the work and so on. So that's why less is more. Focus really on the key aspects that provide value, integrate them in a single platform that is globally available. And then I'm pretty sure there will be a lot of potential, especially for the vertical industries.
Thank you, sir. Do go ahead and answer that, because we're all desperate to know who that is calling. Unfortunately, we've got 5 minutes left. So I want to have a last question to all the panelists, which hopefully they haven't heard, so it will surprise them. So if you could give me at most 1 minute, and the question is this, it's actually a question which I've stolen from a panel I was in last week in Boston, in New York, I'm afraid. So I thought it was a very good question, and I'd like to try and use this. So what is the most urgent area we need to address before we start 6G standardization? I thought this was a really good question, and I struggled with it last week, so I thought I'd let other people... Now being a moderator, I can let other people suffer, so I like this. So, Augustine, first you can have the pleasure of answering this. So what do we really need to address before we start standardization?
I think we need to... Perhaps the most urgent issue is to identify, and I think Mavina and Jean also addressed that, these key values in indicators... for standardizing and to have a consensus where Europe's view is well taken into account, to show what is the value there, and that's it's much beyond the business model, or you know, that's part of the value, I guess. But to show what is the value and to have a common agreement on that, so that sustainability, privacy, security are factoring in there, and there is a common agreement and a strong. Presence of Europe in that agreement. So I think that's the most important and perhaps the most urgent thing.
Thank you, sir. Mohan.
I think one additional aspect is that the research in Europe on that perspective is very, very important. We saw it with the flagship program EXA-X, where we defined the key values for 6G. I think with all industrial and academia around the table, it was possible to define some of the key technologies for 6G. When it comes now to the challenges, because standardization comes also with what standard, what type of challenges we need to have, I guess that we have some early question. One first observation that we see is that people are mentioning today that we will need to make not to make the same mistake as for 5G. So we need to reuse the same network infrastructure as 5G while changing the spectrum, because we are going to adapt the spectrum. When we will adapt to the spectrum, so today we are speaking about the upper mid-band, it will come with some challenges. So we heard about dividing by half the power consumption in 6G networks, so this is a challenge. We need to multiply by 10, a factor of 10, the peak capacity of the network. So this comes with some engine inside, and we need to leverage some of the key drivers to attain this objective when it comes to the chips, to the equipment, and also the use cases.
Thank you, sir. Andreas, shortly.
Yeah, not much to add. I think this has been said before, right? So we have to understand which problems do we really want to solve? Is it really a problem, right? How much does it cost? Is there willingness to pay? Does this all fit together? And if yes, then do it. And otherwise, not do it. Yeah. As simple as that.
Perfect.
I just had the sustainability impact in that, and I'm pretty sure that, for example, the Susten 6G project that has been announced yesterday will clearly help to progress on that. We are not more or less able to evaluate the footprint of a technology, more or less, but being able to evaluate also the benefit it gives, the on-print, is
exactly.
Pretty important,
exactly.
And that's something that the Susten 6G, I hope, will help for.
Yeah, I hope the same. Let's try and make sure it does.
Perfect.
Last word to you, madam.
I would say reconfirm the priorities, because we have different initiatives where we are deciding and sharing the priorities from different perspectives, industry, public party. 6GIA is a very good forum for that.
Thank you.
Doing great work, 6GIA. So
I appreciate the advice.
The sovereignty came up at different discussions.
Right.
And there was a panel this morning on the forces, how we can help them drive their priorities. It's not just the industrial or the public party, but also the policymakers, the end users. And by confirming the values that we want to target, we can also confirm the priorities. And I really think the sovereignty aspect is a key for that, because connectivity is not just another tool or a separate tool. It's really a backbone for sovereignty. We see the world we're living in. So.
Super. I think that's a great place to leave it. And thank you very much for quietly sitting there and taking part. I hope it's been interesting, and thank you to the panel. Wonderful input, very much appreciated.
This podcast is brought to you by SNS ICE, an EU-backed project focused on creating a collaborative environment for the development and deployment of 6G smart networks and services. The project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon Europe Research and Innovation Programme under Grant Agreement number 1010958411.